The reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and what we have proclaimed to you also, so that you may too have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Martin, for that reading. Would you believe we're almost halfway through the month of October? I got to forewarn you, though. A couple weeks we're going to have Halloween, and right after that comes New Year's Day. That seems to be the way things go, isn't it? I met a beautiful couple here from the Bay Area, and he just turned 70. And we were both born in 1948, and I'm thinking, we have this kindred spirit. We're both the same age. But even more than that, we have a kindred spirit because we're God's sons. It's so good to see you here. As I was pointing out to Marvin and Jeannie, God knew what he was doing when he created the church. Because no matter where we go, where God's people are, we have family. Dad, my blessed father, as you know, was a fireman, and Dad didn't know a stranger. He was one of those guys. And we would take long trips in our camper, and my David's sister would go with us. And we always made sure that come Sunday morning, we had found a church somewhere. And in all those years that we traveled, and all those various churches that we went to across the United States, large or small, didn't matter. We were always welcomed because we were always family. We sometimes don't appreciate and truly understand how blessed we are to have each other as family. And that's what we're talking about this morning as we continue our study on the subject of biblical fellowship. As we talked about last week, Christianity, as we see, is essentially relational. It's about relationships. When Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" he said, "Love the Lord your God, right, with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind." That's a relationship. That's relational. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's relational. It's all about love. I look out here, I see Tracy's back. I told Tracy, we don't speak Italian here, so you're going to have to get used to English all over again. But you know what? She's a relative. She's our sister. It's good to have her back. For however long it's going to be, Tracy, you're amongst family here. We see that in these two greatest commandments, Jesus calls us to be right related with God and to be right related with each other. And what Jesus is telling us is there's no greater commandments than these. There are no greater commandments that he has given us in his word greater than these two. And if we can't be right with these two, guess what? We're not going to be right with the rest of them. Because this is where it starts. It is the very foundation that directs the destination of our lives. It's all based on these two commandments. This beautiful and powerful passage that Martin just read for us in 1 John chapter 1 really represents those two commandments. I'll read it again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, our love for God and our love for each other calls us into this fellowship with one another. And when we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that the New Testament church was devoted, they were devoted. They were devoted to the apostles' teachings. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to prayer. And in this devotion they had to fellowship, they were also, as part and parcel of that, they were devoted to the relationship that they had with each other. And it was that devotion and the relationship that they had with each other that caused them to share everything that they had with people in need. Because when we have that kind of relationship and we see someone in need, we can't help but want to share with them. And I'm not just talking about physical things. Even more importantly, I'm talking about spiritual things. When we see someone in need spiritually, we can't but help. We can't but help to give them, to help them with what they need spiritually. You might remember the MasterCard commercial that was on many, many years ago. In fact, this MasterCard commercial had different venues, but it ran for about 18 years, if you can believe that. And the one that I remember the most, it was a Thanksgiving dinner. And you had a large table with a lot of people around the table, and you see the turkey, and you see the dressing, and you see the yams, and you see all the stuff that go with it. And the voice said, "Thanksgiving dinner, $300. Pumpkin pies, $100. Time with family and friends, priceless. Our time with family here is priceless." But you know, it didn't come without a price. And that price wasn't cheap. We celebrated that as we do each first day of the week around the Lord's table. God gave His Son for us so that we could have that priceless relationship. What a gift. What a gift that is. So as we continue our study this morning on fellowship, I want us to think about this. I want us to remember that fellowship means relationship. In the New Testament, what is shared in common is shared, first of all, because of the common relationship that we all have with Jesus Christ. We share Him in common. I turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. We're going to read a couple short passages here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship. He's called us into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God has called us into fellowship with Jesus Christ. First John chapter 1 and verse 3, as we just read, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship is sharing together in a common life with other believers in the relationship that we have with God and Jesus Christ. And it's out of that fellowship, out of that relationship, that we then become active. I mean, think about this. Take yesterday, for example. What did we do yesterday? Did we watch college football? Maybe some of you did. But we had a clothing giveaway, didn't we? We had a lot of people come here from surrounding neighborhoods and take clothing that we had collected from each one of you over the last 6 months or so, to be able to bring them home to their families or bring them home to other people that they knew that needed clothing. Why did we do that? We did that because of our relationship. Because as fellowship is defined, it's our interconnection, it's our inner unity with each other, working with Christ, working with Christ as part of that relationship, to perform or to do God's will here on earth. We never do it alone. When we were out there working, doing God's will by helping other people, not just physically with their needs of clothing, but we were giving them other things as well. We had little handouts, and we have the Taco Festival coming up. We were promoting that as well. But we don't do that alone. God is with us. Christ is with us directing those things that we do. To the Bridge House last night, we fed the homeless at the Bridge House. We do that once a month. Again, why do we do it? Because of the relationship we have with one another and the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. And that calls us to do that. That's all part of our fellowship. Our fellowship is first and foremost our relationship with God and Jesus and our relationship with each other. That's what causes us to do the things that we do. It produces activity in doing God's will for our life. And you know, there are different kinds of relationships. Sometimes we use the term relationship to define a subjective experience. In other words, we'll take Ben and Brenda there. I like to use Ben and Brenda. I don't know why. They have a relationship, don't they? Actually, they have two relationships. One is how they get along. And I can tell they get along really well. Ben might say, you know, I get along, I have a great relationship with Brenda. She's happy all the time. She's a great cook. She understands me well. We have a great line of communication. All those things, we have that kind of relationship. That's an experimental... That's a relationship that happens between two people. But theologically, when the Bible talks about a relationship, it's talking about an objective fact. They have a relationship because they are related. And no matter whether they get along or not, no matter how that relationship goes, they still are related. That's an object fact. They are related. So we have two types of relationships. We have a relationship with one another in a verbal sense, in an I get along sense. But even more important than that, we are related because we are children of God. And that's not affected by the way we get along, or at least it shouldn't be. The way we get along should be affected by the fact that we're born again, that we are God's people. That's what should drive that emotional relationship that we have with one another. And that includes a husband and wife relationship. Husbands should try to be the best husband they can because they are a child of God. And that's what God directs them to be. And this means that our relationship really is on two different levels. We have a vertical relationship, and that's with God and Jesus Christ. And we are, as a child of God, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have a relationship because of God talking to us through His Word, of us talking to God through prayer and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's our vertical relationship. And then we have a horizontal relationship with each other, don't we? We are all related to each other as children of God. We take care of our physical needs. We take care of each other's spiritual needs and all the responsibilities that that entails. As members of the body of Christ, we are also members of one another. And that reminds us that no man is an island. We're not in this alone. That we are all related to each other. When I have a need that needs to be fulfilled, I know that I can go to you with confidence that you will help me because of that relationship that we share together. We had some friends that used to attend here many years ago. They decided it was too far for them to drive from their house to here. So they decided they would form their own church at their house. What was the problem with that? See, the problem with that is not that they weren't spiritual people. It's not that they didn't believe in God. But the problem was they didn't believe God. When he said that it's important for us to be together because we empower each other. We encourage each other. We help each other. We know we always have a place to turn no matter how difficult things may be in our lives. There are always people that love us and care for us for who we are. That's what children of God. And because of that, every believer, every one of us is important and essential if the Lord's body here is going to function properly. Now turn over with me to Romans chapter 12. Let's read this together. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. But rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to one another. We are dependent upon one another to do what God has asked us to do so that the body of believers that form this local congregation of the Church of Jesus Christ in Lompoc can function the way that God wants it to function and do the will that He has given us to do. There are a number of one another passages in God's Word that reminds us how we should treat each other. How we should treat each other. You remember when your kids were small, or Martin and Rebecca, their kids are still small. When your kids were small, and you were about to take a road trip, and you didn't have big RVs back then, you had station wagons. Remember station wagons? And you'd cram four kids in the back, and mom and dad were up front. Before you took a trip, you told those kids how they were to behave because you didn't want to hear it for the next 10 hours. She touched me. She's over in my place. You know, on and on it goes. This is why she's David's sister and not mine, by the way. God has given us this life together. But He just doesn't throw us together in a room and say, all right, have at it. He tells us specifically, this is how, Roy, you're to treat Mike. This is how you're to treat Martin. This is how we're to treat each other. There are 58, depending on the translations, 58 or 59 one another verses in God's Word that instruct us on how we are to treat each other. And we don't have time to go through all of these, but let me just give you a few, and I put them up on the board here. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. give preference to one another in honor. We need to be devoted to one another. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Don't think you're all that, because you're not. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. Guess what? We're not all the same. We're not all the same. But it's the differences that we have in each other that makes each member of the body of Christ so powerful. Because we're not all the same. Aren't you glad not everybody's like you? Can you imagine living in a world of Russells? Well, that wouldn't be so bad. But you know what I mean? We need to appreciate our differences and not judge them simply because they're different. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Is my attitude toward you one of wanting to build you up? Do I want to build Buzz up when I see him? Do I want to make him feel good about not just himself, but the life he has in Christ and the fact that we're related? Or does Buzz think when he sees me coming in, oh boy, that's that Roy again, what a pain in the neck he is. Never saying a good thing, never smiling, never wishing me well. We need to build each other up. Romans 15 and verse 7, therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to be to the glory of God. Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We need to bear each other's burdens. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Forgiveness is a very important part of the relationship that we have, in the fellowship we have one with another. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may stimulate one another on toward love and good deeds. Stimulate one another. You ever think about that word stimulate? Excuse me. When Drew played basketball at Rigetti, and then he went on and played college basketball up in Monterey, the team always did better in a home game. You ever notice that? In the basketball arena, which is enclosed, it's indoors, and they always seem to do better at home because they had the crowd, the home crowd, cheering for them. They had cheerleaders. Those basketball players love those cheerleaders. Part of the reason is because they pumped them up. They encouraged them. They wanted them to go out and do their very best. And so the team always played better at home. There should be no better cheerleader that you have in your life than me or you. There is no better cheerleader in your life than a child of God that's there to encourage you on physically, emotionally, spiritually, every time we see each other. Russell is a great cheerleader. I tell you, if I don't get hugged 3 or 4 times on Sunday morning, Russell's not here. You know what I mean? He loves to hug, and that's a great source of encouragement and empowers me to want to be better because of that hug, because of that email or email I get from him every morning that encourages me as well. Don't complain against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. James chapter 5 and verse 16, very familiar passage. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. But most importantly, we're to love one another. Of the 59 or so one another passages in God's Word, 18 of them direct this specific topic. So don't you think it's important to God? And let me tell you, this is not a suggestion. John chapter 15 verse 12 said, "This is my command. This is my command, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Our relationship to one another describes who we are. We are a community of believers bound together by our common life. That doesn't mean boring life. That means united life. And the blessings that we share together through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's that relationship that is an integral part of the fellowship that we share with one another. We have a great fellowship with one another because we love each other. And we are related to each other through Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with a story this morning about Thomas Carlyle. Thomas Carlyle was a businessman who married a secretary. But the problem was, he was so involved in his own business and so involved in his own priorities that he treated her more like an employee than he did a wife. Stricken with cancer, she was confined to bed for a long time before she died. And at the funeral, Carlyle was heartbroken. And when it was over, he went back home. He wandered around the house in despair for a while, finally going upstairs to the bedroom and looked at the bed that she had laid in for so long. He sat down in the chair next to the bed, and he noticed over on her nightstand was a diary. Now, normally he wouldn't have read the diary had she still been alive, but she wasn't. And so he felt this need to look, to get some kind of an insight, to maybe feel closer to her because of what she had written. And so he picked it up and started thumbing through the pages until he came across this one. She said this: "Yesterday he spent an hour with me, and it was like being in heaven. I loved him so much." Then he turned a few more pages, and he read this: "I listened all day for his footsteps in the hallway. But it's getting late, so I guess he's not coming. I really miss him." And as he continued going through those pages, that was the pattern that he saw. And he could visualize in his mind his wife laying there, dying of cancer, listening for his footsteps on the hallway. Footsteps that never came. He was so stricken with grief that he ran out of the house, ran all the way down to the cemetery in the rain, and knelt down at the foot of her grave. And he said, if I had only known how much she loved me." I'm afraid that many are going to stand before God someday, saying, if I'd only known, if I'd only known how much he loved me. But you see, like this husband, like Carlyle, we are so involved. We are so demonically captivated by our own agendas, by our own things that we want to do, that we somehow miss God's presence in our life. He's there every day. He's there every moment to help us. Unlike Carlyle's wife, who perhaps didn't tell him how much she loved him, God tells us over and over again how much he loves us. He loves us and wants that relationship with us. And the cross tells us exactly how much that love is. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the relationship we have. That's the fellowship we have because of what was done for us, out of the love that God has for us. Let's never take that for granted. Let's never take each other for granted. Let's never take the cross for granted. If you're here this morning and we can help you in any way in your life, we ask that you think about that. Again, we're family. We're related. If you have a need, if you have a prayer that we can offer on your behalf to help you get through whatever it is you're going through, this is not a time of judgment. This is a time of help. That's what the invitation is offered for, because we love you. If you've not yet become a child of God, that's... He died for you. We need for you to think about that. If we can help in any way, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.